Welcome tonight to God's Word Baptist Church. We're going to continue studying these comparisons that we see in Scripture. And I'm going to double check. Is it not connecting? Hold on. Technical difficulties. Oh, wait, there's the boat. All right. So we've been talking about these comparisons in Scripture. And again, the idea behind this is so that as we go through this, it's to learn how to mature in Christ. Many Christians don't understand exactly how to do that. When we're told to grow in Christ, when we're told that we need to grow up, many people don't even understand where to begin. And one of the best places to begin is actually Proverbs itself. While Proverbs is a very, very deep book, it's got a lot of meaning behind it. It is also very simple. So it's an amazing book where you've got these two comparisons that we've been talking about, the fool, and we're going to talk about the wise tonight. And it's interesting to see that the book itself is, if you will, a contrast of both simple principles yet deep spiritual meaning. And it's amazing how God puts together His Word. I still, the more I study it, the more I'm amazed at how God has put this all together and has preserved it over the courses of thousands of years so that we now have the Word of God in our hands. So it's amazing to think about that. But we're going to take a look here again at these principles. And we're not going to go over this again, but essentially, you know, studying these two persons that God presents in Scripture is intended to provide those tools to mature and to grow in Christ. And that's what we're looking at. So we're going to take a look tonight at the wise. We looked at the other day at the fool, and now we're going to take a look at the wise man. And I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Before we get too much further, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that this evening we would please you and honor you by studying your word, Lord, with an intent to grow and an intent to yield to your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would approach this with humility and humbleness, that, Lord, we would have a desire to learn from you and to listen, above all, to what you tell us, and, Lord, do those things that you've asked us to do. And, Lord, I just pray you'd be with me tonight, that you would speak through me, that all of this would be pleasing in your sight. And again, I thank you for all that you've done for us, especially giving us this book that we can learn of you, learn of your will, and learn how to please you in this life. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here, the very first thing that I wanted to start off with is kind of where Solomon starts off with this wise man. And this wise person is going to be somebody that actually listens to what is right. In this day and age, there is a bunch of stuff you can listen to. There's everything from, you have music to talk shows to entertainment to, you can fill the void of silence with noise. And the problem is often the case is people don't sit and they're not comfortable with silence. We've been trained to the point of where we're no longer comfortable with silence. We have to have sound. We have to have something because we, you know, honestly can't be alone with our own thoughts sometimes. But the idea and the concept is that the Lord does ask us to sit there and be quiet. I mean, He tells us, be quiet. There's many times that, you know, we're to be in silence when we sit there and think about what the Lord has done and to meditate upon it. And sometimes that's what we need to do. But above all, this wise person is going to come to a point of where, as he says here in this part, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. The idea behind this, and I've always said this, and it's not mine to claim or anything of that nature, nor would I want to try to, but you never stop learning. It's just not, once you stop learning is the moment that you are mentally dead, if you will. There's nothing going on between the two ears. Because you've gotten to a point of where you think you know everything, then you are the fool. We've talked about that. But what the wise man does, comparing to the fool, is he will realize, I need to increase in learning. Everything that we look at in our life, we need to increase in. We know that we need to increase in learning. We've got to learn some things from the Word of God. We've got to learn more about God. We've got to learn more about the will of God. In addition to that, we also have to go through the process of, if you will, increasing our faith. We have to go through the process of increasing love. We have to go through the process of increasing charity. We have to go through the process of increasing edification. I mean, there's all these things that we as believers need to increase. And we find here that Solomon says, if you want to be wise, you don't want to be considered the fool. You don't want to be considered the person that disregards God. You want to be considered the person that regards God. You're going to listen. And as he says here very specifically, it says he will hear, but it's talking about wise counsels. Wise counsels. You ever got bad advice? Ah, oh, man, there's times I've gotten some really bad advice. There's times I've received great advice. I'll tell you this, the Word of God will never fail to give you proper advice and proper counsel. As a matter of fact, the Bible specifically says the Word of God, the counsel of the Word of God is what will stand. So, I mean, you take a look at how they're changing things right now in the medical field, specifically in mental health, to address a lot of these problems that we've got going on. And they're changing things to a point where they're taking what used to be mental illnesses and lauding them as just simple differences. And that's not the case. It truly is a process of people not thinking correctly. And we have to understand that. This isn't an issue of somebody just going through a childhood phase. It's a problem of they're not thinking correct according to the Word of God. And we're going to find out more about that in just a moment. But what we find is that a person that is going to be wise is going to listen to the right counsel. And in order to discern what is right counsel and what is wrong counsel, you have to be familiar with what God's will is. If somebody's not familiar with God's will, they can easily be led astray. And the wise man is not easily deceived, because he has the Word of God as his resource. And we'll find that as we take a look a little bit further into this wise. But if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 8 and take a look at verse 33, we find more about this wise. In Proverbs 8, verse 33, it says, "Hear instruction and be wise." Hear instruction and be wise. I've had to do training of individuals before, and many times you wind up with a person that just doesn't want to hear the instructions. You're trying to tell them, okay, this is what I need you to do. You get through the first in part of the instruction, and they go, yeah, I know, and then they just, they walk away and they think they've got it. And then they come back, say 10, 15 minutes later going, okay, I'm not understanding something here. And you're like, well, you didn't listen to the whole thing. The person that listens to instruction, that hears this, is going to be somebody that's going to be wise. Is going to be wise. And this is part of where we as believers have to realize we have got to tune our ears to hear things. It's part of the circumspect walk. The circumspect walk isn't about just what you see, but it's also about what you hear, what you think, where you go. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just simply being aware of surroundings. When a person is trained to hear things and to listen, they're much more acute in their senses, and they're able to discern when either there's danger or when there's something that they need to address. You take a look at an individual that has sight impairment, and one of the things that they will do is their other senses will be much more in tune. You can have an individual that has greater hearing because that's their main primary sense that they rely on. People that have their sight rely heavily upon their sight. And if you've ever had an issue where you have not had your sight, it gets pretty scary pretty quickly. The other night, I kind of felt like I was getting a migraine coming on, and I was laying there in the bed and the light was on, and I just had to close my eyes because just the light from just a light bulb was just killing my eyes. It was just too much. And when you close your eyes, you begin to hear everything around you. You begin to hear all the noises, and you begin to hear and listen to things. And I will tell you this, a lot of the times what believers rely on is what they can see, not what is of faith. The Bible talks about that. So what we have to do is we have to be a person that is going to hear the Word of God. That's how we get to that point of being wise. But there's a second part to it, and we see that here in this passage in verse 33. It says, and refuse it not. Refuse it not. And it leads right into the next point. And if you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And in Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 8, talking about the wise, it says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. We talked about the prating fool, but here we find it, you know, in this comparison, the individual that is wise in their heart, what do? They receive the commandments. They receive the commandments. The previous verse, they don't refuse it. And that's what we have today, is we have a bunch of people that refuse not only to listen, but they refuse when truth is presented. When truth is right there and it cannot be questioned, they go about to prove what is true is a lie. I've seen it happen before. People today are starting to question God's creation and how God created things. And because we see a few exceptions to certain situations, they're trying to get down to a point of where they're trying to say, well, the exception is the rule. That's not the case. And you go back over to Genesis and he makes it pretty clear. What does he say when he created man? Male and what? Female. Well, does that mean I'm whatever phobic? No. I'm not afraid of them. I fear God. Does that mean that I'm repelled by them or anything of that nature? No, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ just like I did. Interestingly enough, there's a guy, and I've totally lost his name, and I don't have his card anymore, and it's driving me crazy. And I tried to find him on the internet the other day, and I couldn't find him, so I don't know if he's still doing the ministry or not. There was a guy, his whole purpose was he went to homosexual communities in San Francisco and preached the gospel to them. That was his mission field. Why? He said, because they need it. Just like anyone else. Why do we go to the druggies and, you know, have them and we give them the gospel, but we won't give them the gospel? And you got guys running around here in the Vancouver area that say those type of people can never be saved. Yeah, well, you know what? You got to actually take a look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. The Bible's pretty clear on that. And when he said, such were some of you, what happened? They were saved out of that. And people don't want to hear that. So what do they try to do? They try to change it. They try to refuse it. And what do they become? The fool. The Bible says that if a person is going to sit down and hear instruction, they're going to listen to it and they're not going to refuse it. They're going to receive that. Now I notice here in this verse 8, he says here, a wise in heart will receive commandments. This even goes beyond the simple part of instruction. This goes into obeying commandments. So what we begin to see about the wise man is an individual that is unlike the fool, that repels authority, that says, no, I'm not going to have that, refuses the things that are the authorities in their life and says, I'm not going to do that, becomes the rebel, becomes the person that says, I won't. Whereas the wise person is the one that's going to sit down and say, if God has asked me to do that, then I will do it. I will do it. Well, what do we find? We find in this comparison that whether you're a wise or fool is directly related to how much you will obey God. And in order to obey God, you're going to receive it as part of the receipt. When you have that and it's given to you, not only do you hear it, but when you receive it, it's something that permeates into your heart and you say, this is what I am going to do. I am going to follow Christ. He has asked me to do this. I will obey because of who he is and the fact that I love him. And there's where the obedience comes in. The fool refuses to obey. The fool refuses to obey. The wicked is the one that receives that instruction. He receives it. And specifically, that wisdom is already established in his heart. So what does that mean? That means that you need to start obtaining wisdom to be able to understand how to follow those commandments that God has given to us. Wisdom is a thing that it builds upon itself. It builds and it builds and it builds. You know what we call that? Edification. Edification. Take a look back over at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And in verse 7, it says, this, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is a powerful verse because, again, we see all the stuff above that we are familiar with about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then he goes on to talking about honoring the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits and of all thine increase. And a person begins to realize that God's not talking about your physical stuff. He's talking about you. And what's the first fruit? What's the first thing you do? Your will. People talk about tithe and offerings all the time. And I'll tell you this. Before God wants any of your money, you know what? He wants you. Specifically, what does he ask of you? Your will. I mean, it's a small portion to give of yourself, really, when you think about it. He's not asking you to give up your life, per se. People will make it sound like that. But it's the first fruit. Why? Because what's the first thing that we do? What we want to. What we want to. People get dressed in the morning sometimes, and what do? They dress according to how they want to. People do things during the day that's according to what they want to, and they never ask God first. I mean, when we start really thinking about it, it is one of the first things that we're supposed to do, and God says, I just do that. Something this simple. But moving up back to the passage there, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. A person that is wise is not going to rely on their own wisdom. A person that is wise is not going to rely on the things that they think that they know. What they're going to do is they're going to say, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to be somebody that is going to acknowledge God in everything. I'm going to be the one that fears the Lord, and therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, I'm not going to be right in my own eyes. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I mean, that's what the nation of Israel did in the book of Judges. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes, right? Now, how many times does it repeat that? And how many times did it get him into trouble? Every single time. You ever been wise in your own eyes and then sat there and gone, man, maybe I need to go back and read Judges again. You know how that happens is you're going through something in your life and you're like, man, I'm going through some difficult times. I think I'm going to read the book of Job. I'm going through, you know, some stuff, you know, people are arguing things about legalism. I'm going to go over the book of Galatians. People, when it comes to that, and then they come to realize, man, I've been doing my own thing for a long time. You know what the book is for that one? Judges. Go back and read it. Over and over and over and over and over again, it has bad consequences. Over and over and over again, it leads them into bondage. Over and over and over again, it leads them into heartache and sometimes death. But what do we find here? He says, look, the person that's going to be wise is not going to be somebody that looks at themselves and says, I'm wise. That's pride. What verse 7 here is really talking about is some issues of pride. Because again, we like to think we know everything. You're like, well, I know I don't know. I know I don't know everything. Well, do you know that you don't know that you know? You know? Yeah. You're like, what? But the idea is that, look, if I sit back and I go, I am going to rely on what God tells me. I am going to have to look at Scripture from it. I'm going to have to exercise wisdom that is from above. Not the wisdom that is here. Not the wisdom of the world, not my own wisdom. And it takes a lot of self-reflection and self-criticism, if you will, to sit down and look and say, okay, is my wisdom aligning with God's? Is it pure? Is it peaceable? What's it look like? And we're supposed to be doing that before we do anything else. Before we do the actions, before we say the things, before we think those things. That's the idea. That's the concept. In turn over to Proverbs chapter 10, and I want to kind of clarify this, because we're talking about a person that's being wise in their own eyes, and we talked about a person that is wise in their heart, it means that they're already establishing the fact that they need wisdom, and they may have a small part of it already. It's obviously wise to trust Christ as your Savior, because the fool rejects. There's the first step in wisdom, is receiving the Word of God and not refusing it. Believing the words of life that are clearly established here. But what a wise person does is a wise person is an individual that prepares themselves. And what do I mean by that? It means that often the case that happens is believers will not prepare themselves in wisdom, won't prepare themselves spiritually, so that when things happen, their world comes apart. They haven't sat down and looked at the Word of God and said, what do I need to handle these situations? You're like, well, that may never happen. Well, it doesn't hurt to be prepared. As the adage goes, better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And that goes for a lot of things. I've used that before, that analogy. But the idea is that we need to make sure that we understand that concept. A person that is wise is going to do those things. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know what happens is this. This passage specifically, if you will, kind of talking about parenting, the parent helps prepare the child. But what I find with this is that it's not the parents that are necessarily doing all the preparation. The child must do it as well. The child must be trained up so that they take responsibility for what they are doing, for how they're doing things, for the intent behind it. And what we find is we find that this son, what is he doing? He's preparing. Now, look, here he is using these physical things, and the physical things that we look at have a great deal of spiritual relationship, spiritual parallelism. And what do we find? He says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. You know, there's many of people that sat down and said, man, I really wish I started saving for retirement earlier. There's a lot of people that said, man, I really wish I had taken care of my body better when I was younger. Trust me, you can take care of your body and it does its own thing. It'll rebel against you every single time. I've known of guys that they were runners. They were people that would go and they would run and run and run. And, you know, they did that every day. And they would run miles. They looked fit as a fiddle. And I don't know how many times, there was one year that I kept hearing more and more and more of these incidences happening where runners were running and then they get back into their car after they're done and then they just fall over dead. Their heart just gives up and stops. Now look, I'm sure there was probably some medical condition or something else that's there and so on and so forth, but I'll tell you this, you know, and I'm not saying don't take care of your body, but if you invest all of your time, effort, and money into taking care of your body and you disregard your soul, and I'm talking about even believers, because they do that too. Yeah. You need to make sure you focus on the Word of God. That's the spiritual part. Well, does that mean that you just let it go? No, absolutely not. You need to make sure we're good stewards of what God gives us. He gives us a body, we got to take care of it. We don't abuse it, we don't treat it like an amusement park. We treat it with respect and the honor that it's supposed to bring to God and glory to God. Like, well, it's just flesh. Yeah, I get it. But we're supposed to use the flesh to do that. We're supposed to have dominion over the flesh to tell it what to do, not the other way around. It's a struggle. I get it. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. But it's pretty clear here that this individual is a person that is a wise son because they thought ahead. They thought ahead. Now, I'm not talking about forsaking childhood or anything like that, but I'm talking about a child that sits down and thinks spiritually. Like, well, how can a child sit down and think spiritually? I mean, some of these things are hard to understand. Yeah, but they can understand them as a child. And they can grow in that child. They can grow in their maturity. And they can begin to make those right decisions. And furthermore, this is necessarily talking about a child. This is also talking about somebody that could also be the adult. I mean, what does it send over there in John chapter 1 where it talks about that we are what? Sons of God. If we are sons of God and we don't want to bring our father shame, then what do we need to do? We need to prepare. Are you telling me to be a prepper spiritually? Absolutely. Absolutely. You should have a stockpile of spiritual ammunition that would make the Russians blush. Well, they used up most of theirs now, but you know. But you understand what I'm saying, right? We should have enough spiritual food that we know how to get access to it and receive the necessary nutrients that we have should something happen where we need to do that. And I'm not talking about something that happens here, like all of a sudden they ban Bibles and they ban church and they ban Christianity. I'm talking about when something simple happens in your life that may be a health condition, it may be a work condition, it may be a relationship issue, it may be anything. Are we prepared to handle it? Well, the person that is wise is the individual that has gone about and saying, I'm going to make sure that my stockpile is what it should be. I'm going to be prepared. They're prepared spiritually. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Now, obviously, it goes into there, and it even talks about the principle that we just talked about. But I want to focus on this, is that what a person does that is a wise individual is going to take a look at what God has put forth in nature for us to see. Keep your place in Proverbs. We'll get back to that. But go over to the book of Romans. Again, I know we hit this frequently, but it is such an important principle because of what happens if you don't. But in Romans chapter 1, he specifically says in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. What does that mean? Nobody is without excuse. God has revealed it to them. They're just choosing to ignore it. And what does it say here in verse 20? It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then he goes on talking about how they worship the creature more than the creator, the creation. And we find that today as one of the main things that people are always talking about. But it applies to our body as well. There's a bunch of people, and I'll quote the famous atheist Richard Dawkins, who sat down and said that he 100% believes that man is an engineered being. Like, wait a second, you don't necessarily believe evolution? And he's like, no, not really. I mean, maybe. And he's like, so where does life come from? He says he believes that some sort of intelligent life created mankind and engineered him to be put on here on Earth. So you believe in intelligent design? And he says, I guess, yes, I do. Just not the Judeo-Christian God. So he believes aliens did it. I'm sorry, but I've seen way too many memes. Aliens aren't stopping by here. They would show up and they would be going, no, mm-mm, oh, I'm out of here. These people are nuts. I don't know what this group is, but no, we want nothing to do with this. But I see this here, and God says that they're clearly seen. Like, well, it's hard to see. God's made it clear. These people don't want to see it. They're like the Pharisees that were over there when Stephen started preaching a message, and he got a good way through it. And what did they do? They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear. What were they? Fools. Fools. But what happens is, somebody that is wise will take a look at what God has created, specifically God's handiwork. And God's handiwork is everywhere. You can see it in nature. You can see it in the human body. You can see it wherever. But I will tell you this, what's one of the greatest places that you will see God's handiwork? Your own life. Your own life. the ant is, I mean, yeah, I understand it's got a brain, but it doesn't think the way that we think. Right. You know, we humanize everything. We humanize our dogs and our cats and our horses and our goats and our whatever, right? And we sit there and we think they say things in certain voices, and we sit there and think about what's going on inside their head as they stare out the window. You know what's going on inside their head? Remember those old TVs when they used to stop the transmission? I know that's what goes on inside our little Rollo's head sometimes. Just nothing. There's nothing going on inside between those 2 ears. Unless he hears the word food or thinks you have a snack. He hears a bag opening up, and guess what? You look down, oh, hey. He's right there. But I mean, we are given a brain for a reason, and we can sit down and look at God's creation and say, if God's creation can obey what God has told it to do without a brain like ours, what's our problem? Yeah. I'm just like, and then they turn around and they say, well, we're our animals and we are beasts. You know what that means? You don't get to think. Why? Because they don't want you to think. They'd rather tell you what to think. But they're not thinking themselves. You ever think about that? Anyways, not trying to create a word salad there, but yeah, I look at this and I go, somebody that's wise will sit down and look at what God has created and what God has done and how he has done all of these things. I mean, that's even how he approached Job when Job was sitting over there going, hey, I would like an audience with you, God, to talk about what's going on in my life. And God's response was, have you seen what I've done lately? Have you sat down and taken a look at all of this? You don't think I know what I'm doing? You don't think I know what's going on in your life, Job? You don't think I'm fully aware of all the problems you have at this moment? He is. But I'll tell you this, a lot of times Christians will act like God doesn't hear them. Have we considered his handiwork? You know, as I take a look at this a little bit more and think about it, there's a lot of consideration that a wise person does. I'll turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Not only does he consider God's handiwork, but he considers God's handiwork when he considers what he says. God places a great deal of importance on words. Why do you think there is such an attack on the Word of God? Why do you think there is an attack on every language known to mankind to degrade it or to destroy it or to make it some sort of dead language or whatever it is? Why does that exist? Why is that an issue? Because the devil knows how important words are. Our words are very important. We've talked about how the book of Matthew says every idle word being brought into account. Yeah, that one terrifies me. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says, in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes it is just best to just be quiet. Sometimes it's best to exercise that restraint. To say, you know what, I'm actually going to refrain from saying something. I have typed so many emails that have never been sent. Text messages. There are words sometimes that come to my in my mind that my mouth is going, I'm ready, And thank God for the watch that he sets over there saying, no, you are not. You need to put that critter away real quick because we don't want that set. Somebody that actually considers what they say is going to be considered wise. It's going to be somebody that the Lord looks at and says, well, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. You know, Christ showed that too. He demonstrated that. Remember when they brought the woman caught in adultery? He only said a few words. It's that whole word, the whole concept in Proverbs about a word fitly spoken. And a word fitly spoken is a word that is, if you will, righteous. Meaning what? It's the right words at the right time, said the right way, with the right intent, according to God. Not what is right in our own eyes. So what does this wise person do? The wise person sits down and says, you know what? I think I'm going to be quiet. And you know what? They don't announce that. I've sat in meetings where somebody says something really stupid. And you're like, well, people don't say stupid things. No, they do. You're like, well, that's being mean. I understand that. But some things, they just seriously, they ought not have ever been said. And everybody in the room is thinking the same thing. And somebody sits there and they, what do they have to do? They have to tell everybody that they're restraining themselves. Well, I'm not going to say anything because I think everybody knows it already. Thank you for broadcasting it. We don't need to know everything that goes inside the skull of yours. That person didn't refrain. You know what refrain means? You don't say anything. And if you do, you limit the response. Sometimes it's yay, sometimes it's nay. Sometimes you get a lawyer involved. My wife said that this morning. She says, you answer like a lawyer. I'm like, excuse me a second, let me take this. You know how the Lord uses your wife to smote you sometimes, smite you. But, you know, I'm sitting there thinking about this, and then the Lord has my wife say something like that. I'm sorry, I'm throwing her under the bus here, it sounds like. But yeah, I'm the one that's getting run over by my own bus. Like, all right, I get it, Lord. Refrain. Turn to the next passage before we get too convicted in Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. The people that you hang around with are going to rub off on you, okay? If you hang around a bunch of lawyers, and that's what you do for work, it's gonna rub off. Proverbs chapter 15, and while I have verse 2 here, verse 1 is always good because, again, it's words. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And what does that mean? It means it's absolutely worthless. There's nothing that comes out of that person's mouth that actually means anything at all. You sit down and you sit there and think about it and you're like, did you say anything? I mean, it could be something as simple as saying the children of the community are the children of the community. You're like, what does that have to do with anything? Never mind. My subtle jab. But again, it's foolishness. Well, somebody that's wise is going to use what they've learned correctly so that their words come out correctly. This is one of the greatest connections that anybody can ever make. You can receive a lot of instruction and still be a fool. Why? Because you don't refrain what you say. You don't restrain what you say. And you don't use what you just learned to say it correctly. The idea and the concept is what? God says, I want you to think about what you're going to say. I want you to consider, okay, are you going to use what you learned in Scripture? Are you going to learn use what you learned on Sunday? Are you going to use what you learned on Wednesday? And hopefully you're getting a lot more in between there. Are you going to learn what you used in your daily reading, your daily study? Are you going to learn what you listened to with whoever, you know, guy that was on the internet or something like that? Hopefully, praise the Lord, you're listening to something that's decent, but you know, but the idea and the concept is are we using that so that the words that come out of our mouths speak the knowledge and the wisdom of God? Or it's just going to be a bunch of foolishness. Take a look at verse 7 here. He says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. I like this verse because it goes back to where your words come from. The heart. Jesus Christ specifically said, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And it says it right here, the same thing. The heart of the foolish doeth not so. What does that mean? It means it's coming out of his heart, but his heart is polluted and his heart is corrupted and his heart is filled with foolishness. And when it comes out of his mouth, it's nothing. It doesn't disperse anything. Or if it does disperse something, it's definitely not knowledge. It's generally something else, but, you know, the lips of the wise, that's what they're going to do. They're going to specifically disperse it. They're going to say something that is going to be filled with wisdom. They're going to say something that is specifically from the Word of God based off of verse 2. You know, there's some preachers I just enjoy listening to, not because of the man, but because God is using that man's voice to say something to me. And I will listen to that person, and I know that that person is in the Word of God, and I know that person is reading the Word of God, and is learning the Word of God, is using the Word of God, because what comes out of his mouth is stuff from the Word of God, that he makes those connections and shows those things and reveals it and says, hey, look at this. And you sit down and you go, that's good. That's wise. What's happening? A wise person is dispersing knowledge. Notice a wise person doesn't hoard it and hang on to it. While we are told to prepare, we are told to prepare to disperse, to use it for other people. As we'll see here down there in chapter 11, verse 30 in just a moment. But in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, again, there's several verses here with this same concept. These are only a few sampling, if you will. But in verse 23 of Proverbs 16, it says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Again, the source of what you're going to learn is going to be, you know, of your words is going to be your mouth, and what you have learned is what's going to be coming out of it. So what does that mean? That means that if you want wisdom coming out of your mouth, you have to hide the Word of God in your heart. If it's not hidden in the heart, and it's all up here, it's missing a step. And it doesn't come out wise. It comes out like kind of sort of weird advice. You ever have that person that gives you weird advice? I mean, there's good advice, there's bad advice, and then there's the weird one. I was talking to Brother Perry. I've got a friend that works for the railroad, and he goes through downtown Portland. And he goes through downtown Portland, heading north, and then he makes the turn to go to eastern Oregon along 84. And when they have to go through there, they have to slow the train down to 6 miles an hour, which is kind of long considering the other day he said he had a train that was 2.5 miles long. Hopefully you don't get caught behind one of those. But he was rolling through downtown Portland, and he said it's so bad now that the pirates that are stealing from the trains. Because it's so slow, they hop the trains and open up the cargo containers, those intermodals, and they pop them open, break the seals, and then they start throwing the stuff off to the side. And there's people that are waiting there. He almost had his train ambushed the other day. They tried to derail it and take the stuff. It's getting real, folks, just letting you know. One of my friends who I would have never thought would have ever said it, he's very meek, he's very mild. And he's like, you know, full on kind of Moses. But, you know, at some point in time, Moses has had enough too. And I think my friend, he had had enough because he looks at my other friend and says, why don't you guys just get a bunch of armed guards and put them up there with snipers and just shoot them? Weird advice. That's the weird advice. Not advice that is something that you're really wanting to, you know, you don't want to disperse that kind of stuff. People take that literally sometimes. But this is what a person that is wise does. They disperse that knowledge. And here specifically, as we take a look in verse 23, he says that this person is going to teach this advice to their heart. They're going to teach what they have learned. They're going to teach it to their mouth. The heart is going to teach it to the mouth. What does that mean? It means it's a learning process. You've got to fill your heart with enough of the Word of God that you teach your mouth to control itself. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Take a look at verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 29. Got a couple of minutes here. We're going to finish this one, and we're going to finish the last one on this page. But in Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 11, it says, a fool uttereth all his mind. We talked about that, but what does it say here? But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Now, this is part of next week's lesson, but I want you to notice that word keep. When you keep something, you're a protector. You're a guard. You're a doorman. You're a gate keeper. So somebody that keeps something only allows certain things in and only allows certain things out. In this case, somebody that is wise keeps it in. You ever have that thought? You're in the middle of something, you're doing a conversation, whatever it is, and that thought comes up and knocks on the gate and says, hey, I want out. And you're like, how did you get here? You need to be back over there in the prison. When did you get out? What do? You don't open the door. But it wants out. Don't let it out. Like, well, I'm supposed to keep that inside and bottled up? No, you don't keep it inside and bottled up. You bring it into captivity of Christ, and you bring it into obedience, saying, naughty boy, get away. The idea and the concept is that what do? We keep our lips, we keep our mouth, we keep saying what God wants us to say, and we keep quiet when we need to. There are some things that are just best not said now. Maybe later. Maybe later. Some people can't handle it. I mean, again, Jesus Christ said, hey, I've got a lot of things to tell you, but you can't handle it. He said that to the disciples. I'll tell you this. Sometimes people want to just spout a whole bunch of stuff and throw a whole bunch of knowledge at people. But you know what? I tell you this. Sometimes it's best to just keep some of it back. Why would you keep some of it back? Because they're not ready for it. They don't know what to do with it. They need to learn the first thing that you told them about before they get to the fifth thing. If you give them steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they may be dyslexic like me and go, okay, I'll start with number four first. Well, what about number five? Well, number five is technically number four because number four and five got replaced. You're like, what? Welcome to dyslexia. But you know, the idea and the concept is that, hey, look, you might have to keep something in. Fools just can sit there and babble 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 and never stop. And somebody that's wise, what are they going to do? They're going to keep it until afterwards. They're going to say, I'm going to wait. Maybe later. And again, they don't broadcast that. They just simply hold it back. They keep it and wait for it to be released at the right time. This is the discernment of understanding the word fitly spoken. Turn to the last one. I'll go back over to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs, chapter 11, and in verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I've heard this a lot used usually at soul-winning conferences and soul-winning seminars and all sorts of stuff and things of that nature. And I get it. I understand what we're talking about here. But one thing that I look at specifically in this regard is that a wise person is going to consider another person's eternity. And when I talk about eternity, I'm also talking about the fact that they're also cognizant of somebody may be a believer, but you don't want to trip them up and have them stumble and fall. A wise person is somebody that is going to understand that people need to grow and there's certain things that need to be said at a certain time. Some may understand that, hey, somebody likes vegetables and somebody likes meat. Doesn't make a difference. But what happens here is we see that somebody says, look, I'm going to do this specifically for someone else. Somebody that is winning souls is wise. Why? Because they are concerned about that other person's spiritual condition. They have the soulish mentality, pet mentality. They're concerned whether or not that person's going to trust the Lord as their Savior. They're concerned about whether or not that person's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. They're concerned about an individual and, you know, if you will, what is their building going to look like? 1 Corinthians 3. Because remember, we're all supposed to help each other build. We're all supposed to help build the body of Christ. We're all supposed to excel at edify, which is building up. And somebody that wins souls is a person that has that mentality, has that mindset, and says, I'm really concerned about that. I want to make sure that that person has that right understanding. So they begin to do all of the things that are above in order to do that. Saying the things the right time, considering the right ways, considering what the Lord has done, and really truly receiving that instruction so that they can give that to someone else. This is what a wise person does. You know, there's a big difference between the wise person and the fool. I dare say that in this day and age, sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference. People think the foolishness of the world is wisdom. And it's really not. It's really not. What we see here is that this person that has wisdom is a person that truly has a great relationship with the Lord. And that's where the core of believing all of this comes down to. They are willing to listen to the Lord and they're willing to obey what He tells them. And they're willing to receive that above all. Next week, we'll find out a little bit more about the wise as we continue to take a look at a comparison of them. But let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. I thank You again for what You've given to us from Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would just take these things, apply them accordingly, Lord, that our heart would be applied unto wisdom. And Lord, again, I just thank You so much for what You do for us, guiding us, directing us, giving us these things from Your Word so that we can live a life that is pleasing and honoring unto You. Pray, Lord, You just take us home safely tonight. And again, I ask that You just prepare our hearts to be ready for Sunday, Lord, for whatever messages you may give to us, that again, we can please you throughout this week and into the next, throughout the rest of our life. And this I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.